gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, at least until we're underwater or evacuated. We will bring you the latest on the earthquake in Japan. Literally saying the west coast may be hit with a wall of water. So we will keep you apprised of that. Yikes. All right. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can see us on the Ustream.
That's right. It's Ustream.tv/StephanieMiller.
Yeah, this is all very complicated. And I'm going to be able to see John Fugelsang on Skype in a minute. There's way too much technology for grandma involved. Radio used to just be you play the music on the reel-to-reels and then talk until they start singing.
It's way more than nailing a post.
All right. It's Friday.
Are you having a party or something?
No. Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fugelsang.
City's on fire. Yikes.
Or cities underwater or cities shaking.
Yeah, I wish we were with John in New York this Friday. Hello, John Fugelsang.
I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Yes. We need to go to higher ground. Oh, Rebecca lives in the mountains. We're all going with her, I think.
Yeah,
Welcome to Don't Complain About Your Life Friday.
Yeah.
Have you seen the footage coming out of Japan? By the way, 8.9 earthquake hit Japan overnight, and a tsunami has just torn through northern Japan.
And Hawaii.
It just hit Hawaii. I don't think it was all that damaging in Hawaii, but full coastal evacuations were done in Hawaii, and the tsunami is headed towards the west coast here.
Yeah,
Oregon, Alaska, and California.
Yep.
At this hour, obviously, we it's hard to keep track of all the latest, but they're reporting CNN reporting at least 50 killed in this earthquake. Hit at 2:46 a.m. In Japan,
right,
local time.
And police just said they found about 200 bodies because of the tsunami in one northern town. So that hasn't been completely confirmed yet, but. It's tragic what's going on.
Yeah, you were saying why must three crises hit right before the show? Because we're like, wait a minute, what? A lot going on, obviously. John Fugelsang, all 3 hours in the New York Bureau with us.
It's very nice to be with you from the New York Bureau. New York misses you. And I was going to complain about our weather, but I won't do that now.
And I know you just got in the studio because Chris said you were out getting something to eat, and I can picture you were at the place with the bagel with the long lines right down there
That place went away. We lost that place. And now I've got to go across the street and dodge the 42nd Street traffic.
Oh,
and
now.
Go past all the lines at Spider-Man.
Yeah, right.
Yikes.
This show is right across the street from Spider-Man, folks. So I leave one disaster and then see that. So.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
all
no,
right.
It's crazy.
We also have the former mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, checking in with what's going on there. Unbelievable what's happening in Madison. He's actually former mayor. He's been former mayor 17 times. He may be mayor again.
Yes, he's
running again. Yes. So Paul Soglin joins us next hour. And then also, hello, Sigourney Weaver.
Yep.
Hello.
I think I've heard of her.
Yes.
She's a councilwoman, right?
And we would know you from... Yes, right. All right. And then obviously what everybody's talking about is our friend Keith Ellison at these Prove You're Not a Muslim Terrorist hearings.
Yes. It's pretty amazing how Peter King wants to find out why Muslims are alienated by alienating Muslims.
Yeah. I mean, if that wasn't an example, I mean, of everything that's best with America is Keith Ellison and what he was talking about yesterday. If you didn't cry watching him, it was Keith Ellison, obviously our good friend, a Minnesota Democrat, one of only two Muslims in Congress, wept openly during his testimony. I have to say, no offense to John Boehner, but John Boehner tends to cry about himself.
Exactly.
Tends to cry about, I don't even know, about everything. Whereas, I mean, if you watch Keith Ellison, this is a guy crying about something that really matters.
But he was talking about Mr. Salmani.
To our country, go ahead,
Johnson. Our 23-year-old New York City paramedic who was having lunch by the World Trade Center and lost his life trying to help others when the buildings came down.
Yeah. He's talking sort of about everything that's best about America, John, everything that's, and the worst of America, in the sense that he was immediately smeared. Can you imagine his family? You know, he was smeared because he was...
Yeah, came to his house.
Right, and then obviously was vindicated when his remains were found. Keith Ellison, I mean, it just, we have the audio.
Some people spread false rumors and speculated that he was in league with the attackers because he was a Muslim. But it was only when his remains identified that these lies were exposed. Mohammed Salman Hamdani was a fellow American who gave his life for other Americans.
Ay vey, his Hamdani, am I pronouncing his name wrong? His mother was there, was at the hearings.
Hamdi.
Yeah. And his mother had told Politico last week that she, along with two other family members of 9/11 victims, had been promised a meeting with Peter King, where she had planned to urge him to cancel the hearings, but he failed to show up for the meeting.
Oh, why am I shocked?
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, one thing I learned this week, if you are a terrorist and you want to attack civilians, just use a cute Irish accent and Peter King won't mind.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, if you sound like a Keebler elf, then you're A-okay.
No
Peter
problem
King's
with
book.
The IRA attacking civilians in Britain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No problem.
Exactly. It's manly, yes, but he likes it too. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're oppressed.
I thought it was particularly, well, again, because we know Keith and we're big fans right. of his and had him on a lot of times, but I did think it was particularly poignant. I mean, clearly his feeling about this and his emotions so real, because he himself has come under attack by these ridiculous teabaggers.
Yes. He was attacked to his face by Glenn Beck on his own show. Glenn Beck had him on and said, "Sir, I feel nervous around you. I don't know if I can trust you."
Yeah.
I mean, he's a congressman.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, so who's the nutcake from Florida, the Tea Party guy? Oh, Alan West. Oh, that guy, Alan West, the Tea Party guy from Florida. He recently declared that Ellison represented, quote, the antithesis of the principles on which this country was established. Excuse me? I think he represents exactly the principles on which this country was founded. Literally, he's had his loyalty question based on what?
Based on the religion he was born into.
Also, Judson Phillips, founder of the Tea Party Nation, last fall wrote on his blog, Ellison should be voted out of Congress for being too liberal, too radical, and because he's a Muslim who supports terrorists.
What?
Based on what?
Don't forget, Judson Phillips is the same guy who thinks that only landowners should be allowed to vote. So, troops coming home, he doesn't support you unless you own property.
Yeah, let me just, he was duly elected by the people of Minnesota, who obviously don't think he's too liberal. So what kind of world are we living in? I mean, this is, it was hard not to cry watching that. I don't know, did you watch it online, John?
I sure did, yeah. And I posted the Keith Ellison speech. It was just so moving. And again, to see someone who's weeping about something other than himself or the plight of the wealthy was pretty astonishing.
Yeah, exactly. To have someone weeping for something that's not a corporation for once was, yeah. By the way, here are some not-so-fun facts. As King is targeting Muslims as we speak. Here is Peter King yesterday. Opening the hearings, Representative Peter King.
To back down would be a craven surrender to political correctness.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Here's a little fun fact for you, John. There's been almost twice as many plots since 9/11 from non-Muslim terrorists. Where are those hearings? A January
you mean the white kind?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Hmm.
January 2011 terrorism statistics report shows terrorism by Muslim Americans has only accounted for a minority of terror plots since 9/11. Since 9/11, Muslims have been involved in 45 domestic terrorist plots. Meanwhile, non-Muslims have been involved in 80 terrorist plots. I mean, I'm not saying obviously terrorism isn't a risk, John, but then why not have hearings on terrorism and
exactly.
You include everybody?
Well, that's why it was great to see Sheriff Baca of L.A. point out that of the 10 terror plots that he's had, American Muslims helped him foil 7 of them.
Thank you. That's the other point of this.
Oh,
exactly. Right-wing extremist and white supremacist attack plots outnumber plots by Muslims, both groups being involved in 63 terrorist plots. They list a bunch of them here, just to, from the same report. Anti-government, anti-tax extremists, there have been 36 plots.
Yep.
By right-wing extremists since 9/11. They include Joe Stack's suicide attack, remember, on the Texas IRA building? IRS, excuse me. I misspoke because of Peter King. IRS.
Flying a plane, a white Christian flying a plane into a building.
Yep.
I don't think the IRS has killed anybody.
Well,
they've made a few people kill themselves, probably, but that's an entirely different story. All right.
Maybe they are the Adjustment Bureau.
Yes. And Joshua Cartwright, that guy, he came enraged after President Obama's election, believed the U.S. government was conspiring against him, yada, 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 those guys.
Yeah.
KKK, neo-Nazi, white supremacists, there have been 27 plots by white supremacists since 9/11. Christian extremists, anti-abortionists, there were 3 attacks. The most prominent, of course, the killing of Dr. Tiller. Black supremacist cults, there were 2 plots. Jewish extremists, 2 plots. Extreme anti-immigrant, 2 plots. anti-Jewish. There was one plot by anti-Semitic extremist. But, you know, you get the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Given the fact that non-Muslim terrorists account for almost twice as many plots as Muslim terrorists in the U.S. since 9/11, his justification that he's targeting Muslims because they represent the primary threats, kind of just a load of, you know, essentially.
Hooey.
Yes.
Pretty disgusting. And let's also point out that last year's Times Square bombing, it was a Muslim who pointed that out to police.
Thank you. That's the, I mean, nearly 4 in 10 Al-Qaeda-related plots in the U.S. have been broken up thanks to intelligence provided by the Muslim community themselves. 70% of the recent terror plots in the U.S. have been foiled by help from Muslim extremists. You're exactly right, John.
Yeah, the worst thing about
Muslim said, they're part of the solution, not the problem. You know.
Exactly. Well, he's a Muslim. That's why he said that.
Yeah, well, of course.
And you know why Muslims are a little reticent?
He's a Mau Mau, more importantly.
You know why Muslims are a little reticent to report what they know? Because they're afraid that if they go scouring these websites, that they're going to be labeled as a terrorist as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By association.
Exactly.
All right.
It's sad but true. And again, you know, the worst thing about being a Muslim hater is that then you meet a nice Muslim and you can't hate anymore. It sucks. My cousin married a Muslim and he was a doctor and he helped save my dad's life and all the fun I can't have hating people I don't know.
All right.
You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar always struck me as a nice man.
Muhammad Ali.
I modeled my hookshot after him. That was the terror of the Catholic League in 1979 in upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
This is,
all right.
It just proves this whole war is right-wing Christians against right-wing Muslims, and that's it. The same people are out of it.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on Wisconsin as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Woo! 22 minutes after the hour. Remember, girls, if you don't nuke Gingrich, the terrorists win. Why do you hate America so much? Come on, get with the program. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Kevin, my right-wing love muffin in Pennsylvania, all for the Peter King hearings. Hello, Kev.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. Yeah, let me give you a little freak face. I'm a Tea Partyist conservative.
Uh-huh.
I spent 20 years combat decorated veteran.
Thank you.
I've done 2 tours in Iraq. And I'm honestly very, I'm tired of hearing the rhetoric from the left that I am a racist, I'm a homophobe.
Nobody called anybody a racist this morning that I know of.
Nobody's called you a racist or a homophobe?
Well, the spiel from the majority of the left is that, you know, that the Tea Partyists are homophobes and blah, 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 blah.
But we haven't called you a homophobe or anything.
I'm tired of hearing I hate America.
Well, do you feel like gay people deserve the same rights that you have?
Yes, and I'm a Christian.
Okay,
I don't morally go along with what gay people do, but I still love them as people. And that's what God taught us.
So you just think what they do is kind of icky.
It's kind of icky.
Well, that's their life. You know what? That's their life.
Right.
And that's not a free will.
So, but do you think because of what they do that you don't like, they shouldn't have the same rights that you do?
I don't care what they do.
Ah.
Including marriage?
I mean, honestly, I personally, internally, I don't approve of it, but I don't treat them any different. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get on to.
That's more than Jesus ever said.
Okay, but who's calling you racist? We're just saying that we think Muslims are being targeted unfairly. We're just pointing out the fact that there have been far more let's just take an example, far right, you know, right wing or neo-Nazi or whatever terror plots than there have been Muslim plots since 9/11.
Yeah, but the whole deal behind the hearing, it gets to the bottom of why there's such a surge.
There isn't a surge.
There isn't. It's theater.
It's actually it plummeted since 9/11. Muslim plots. That's what I was just telling you. I mean, that's provable, sir. You can look at, you know, from the FBI, wherever. I mean, obviously they compile these statistics as to how many plots there have been.
And from my personal experience, okay, and this is firsthand experience, the rhetoric coming out of the mosque, and if you want to find terrorists, you go to the mosque. because that's where they go.
In America?
I see. From personal experience, meaning you go to mosques and you've heard all this extremist rhetoric?
What have you heard at mosques?
One of my jobs in the military was to sit and record the mosque message. And when you're an interpreter, you pick up on key words, and when you watch your interpreter, and when his eyes and his facial expressions start changing, you know that something, one of the things we knew was something bad against America or whatever is going on. And you question him on it, and he's just like, I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Do you care to be specific?
That was one of the many jobs that I had while serving.
So your interpreter got a funny look on his face, and so that's why you...
And what country was this in?
This was in Iraq, sir.
Okay, because we're talking about America.
Yeah, we're talking about America.
Yeah,
When somebody shoots an abortion doctor in his church in front of his wife and congregation, would that be Christian extremism?
Yeah, that's extremism, period. You don't get these. I mean, I...
So why aren't we investigating that?
Why aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. That's my question.
Any type of murder, and I'm sorry, I'm against abortion. That's murder also.
That's fine, but let me ask you a question. How do you think the people on the left feel when they hear the Tea Party saying that they're un-American and they hate America? I mean, isn't it the same exact kind of thing we're talking about?
That's their personal choice.
So they can say that, but people on the left can't.
No, you can say what you want. That's what as much as I'm against what the Baptist Church is doing at military funerals, that's their given right as an American citizen.
Sure,
we agree.
It's not right. It's not right, but they have that choice to do that.
We agree.
Sir, we're talking about, I mean, we're obviously as Americans, we're all concerned about terrorism of any kind, but what we're saying is, why are they unfairly singling out Muslims?
Well, then why didn't you bring the point up to go after? There's enough investigations on the white supremacists and everything constantly going on.
Okay, right, but why these big hearings?
Then bring it up.
Provably, but we're saying provably the most number of terrorist plots have been not Muslims. There's been twice as many. Right.
This is
there's
theater.
Been twice as many.
It's theater for him. This is they're doing it to rally the base.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. And John, all I'm asking is let's deal with the same facts. Our first fact check from one day of hearings, Peter King incorrectly claims there were no neo-Nazi terror plots in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm. It's no different than abortion. It's no different
than
abortion.
It's patently untrue.
It's done to raise funds from the base.
Yep, that's all it is.
Period. You're not going to find anything in these hearings. It's
Peter
all theater.
King.
There is nothing radical. Well, un-American in holding these hearings.
Yeah, in his opening statement, he said there's no equivalency of threat between Al-Qaeda and neo-Nazis, environmental extremists he throws in there. Excuse me, has there been a plot? Oh, except that, Greenpeace took one of their flight of nuclear submarines and blew up the BP rig. We remember that. Rush Limbaugh. I'm sure.
Does he lump the IRA in with this?
No.
Of course
he
doesn't.
He said, not one terror-related case in the last 2 years involved neo-Nazis, environmental extremists, or anti-war groups. First of all, what anti-war group has there been a terrorist plot from? Is he going back to the 60s or something?
Anti-war groups are for peace.
I know, but this is what they try to make it all seem the same.
I know.
King's statement would be a surprise to the residents, for instance, of Fall River, Massachusetts. This past December, Justin Vieira, who hung a Nazi flag in his room and engaged in white racist rhetoric, broke a natural gas line and threatened to blow up a three-decker and was arrested after a multiple-hour standoff with police officers, accused of threatening neighbors with a rifle, charged with kidnapping, assault with a dangerous weapon, bomb threat, disturbing the peace while armed, assault,
kids.
And battery, resisting arrest.
Kids.
His threatened terror plots joined those by four other neo-Nazis or neo-Nazi sympathizers since September 2009. There have actually been twice as many terror plots by non-Muslim terrorists like white supremacists and anti-government extremists since 9/11. Just FYI.
GTK.
Yeah, GTK. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sweet merciful Jesus, you're the worst dancer I've ever seen.
Well, yeah.
34 minutes after the hour. Oy vey, if you have just woken up, tuned in, whatever, a ferocious tsunami spawned by one of the largest earthquakes ever recorded slammed Japan's eastern coast in the middle, basically the middle of the night.
It's the fifth largest earthquake ever recorded on Earth.
And it looks, hours later, the tsunami hit Hawaii. It looks like Maui is about...
CNN is reporting that Maui has been hit by a big wave. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it's any bigger than usual, but or if it's causing any damage, but yeah. And it's headed this way, here to California.
Yay!
Is it hitting Southern California or Northern?
Central. It looks like more Central and Northern California, so, so. San Francisco...
We'll find out if we're underwater in the third hour
Burbank
of the show.
Will be safe.
Yes.
So people at Green 960, give us a call.
It may not just be Fridays with Bugle Sing. It may be every day, depending on what happens in hour three. All right. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number. Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi,
Joe. Good morning, guys and gal.
Hello.
Good morning. Caller. Man, that kind of amazed me because I work one block from where the backpack bomb in Spokane was placed by a guy who was white
supremacist,
Christian,
yeah.
Ex-military, mm-hmm. conservative, kind of just like your last caller.
Yeah.
Obviously, he had no compunction with killing women and children he didn't even know.
Yep.
Exactly.
So when's Peter King coming to Spokane?
Yeah, exactly. Sam in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sam.
Hey, yeah, I have 2 points I want to make.
Okay.
That one caller who was saying he studied people's facial expressions and mock. I mean, how subjective
yes.
is that?
Now, yeah. That's like, Chris, that's like that body language expert that Bill O'Reilly has on.
I'm a holiday Muslim, but when I, I go to mock the holidays, I've been to these sermons, I listen to these guys. They don't, they say anything you'd hear in a church. This is insane. So you're studying this guy's facial expressions?
Yeah, he got a funny look on his face. Maybe someone farted. You know what I'm saying? That happens in church.
One more point.
Yes.
So Muslims have historically voted in this country, have historically voted Republican and conservative. But since all this fear-mongering, they're voting against their own principles because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, as a liberal, I'm glad to have them, but whatever.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you.
We have Guam and Indonesia have now lifted their tsunami warning. So they're out of the...
They're saying, by the way, hundreds killed in the Japan quake. Obviously, it's going to be difficult to...
probably more killed by the tsunami. I guess 200 to 300 bodies were found in a town in northern Japan that was hit by a tsunami. So,
All right. Billy, my right-wing love muffin from Texas. Hello, Billy.
Good morning, Stephanie. Listen, your veteran that called a few minutes ago was right on target when he was bemoaning the notion that y'all label anybody with a right-wing idea as a racist.
No, that's not true.
We don't do that.
There are lots of Republicans that aren't racist. That's not what my point. There are some elements, in particular, I think, in the Tea Party that are racist.
Most Republicans aren't racist, and most racists are Republicans.
Yeah, there you go. See, Stephanie, let me ask you this. Would you agree that the ends justify the means?
Depends on the situation.
No, that's kind of a gelatinous question. What does that mean?
No, because it's at the core of the leftist philosophy.
Oh.
You do whatever you lie, do whatever sophistry, do whatever twisted logic you need.
Are the leftists the pro-violence ones?
Or to win.
Hey, I'm a leftist that's giving you free pro-flowers, my friend.
Well, and I appreciate that very much. But the
thank
point
you.
Is, when you have a guy call in and he espouses a Tea Party ideal, and then you compare...
No, Billy, there is a difference. There is a difference between a Tea Party ideal. I mean, look, fiscal conservatism, I'm for that. You know how we can reduce the deficit? We can make the rich pay their fair share, and we can get out of these wars.
All the illegal Mexicans.
Pardon me?
And we can quit paying for,
quit paying illegal Mexicans? Huh?
We are through WIC. We're paying illegal Mexicans every day through WIC in Texas.
What's WIC?
Right. Now you know that
it's a food stamp.
The deportations.
Really? You think that's going to solve the deficit?
Deportations have gone up under Obama,
right,
for the record.
And I'm sure I'm going to be labeled a racist.
No, Billy, this is our discussion right now. Look at when people say racist things, that's racism. And I'm not saying everybody in the Tea Party is racist. I mean, we're talking about elements of this hearing. These hearings, we think, are racist.
Well,
but let's just talk about...
Well,
Let's just talk about the deficit.
Right-wing ideal, and somebody in the Tea Party at one time said something that was racist. You believe thing, the same thing that he believes, therefore you must be a racist.
More than one person in the Tea Party has said something racist.
Do you think when a Tea Partier, and again, I can send you, if you give me your email address, I will send you lots of the pictures of Tea Party rallies. If there's a picture of the president with a bone through his nose, if there's a picture of watermelons on the White House lawn, do you think that's racist?
That doesn't make me racist because I believe some of the same things those people believe.
I didn't say it makes you racist. It makes them racist.
It doesn't make that other guy racist either, but y'all do it every day. This other moron they called just one or two calls ago said this guy had no compunction about killing women and children. He didn't even know. Well, how does that idiot know that?
Well, he put a backpack with a bomb in a crowded area at a Martin Luther King Day march. Obviously, if it had gone off, it would have killed a lot of innocent people.
Right?
But that's not what he was aiming at. He was talking about the guy that called
in. Oh, Billy, come on. For God's sakes, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. A white supremacist guy plants a bomb at a Martin Luther King Day march, and you think that's not racist?
No, I don't know how racist it is, but it's damn sure.
Maybe he hates parades.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah,
he hates
parades.
That's it. He hates tubas. Okay.
Maybe Dr. King was a communist, and that's why he did it. It's incredible. Mm. It's like we can do no wrong. And one more thing about the previous caller listening to if you're in a mosque in Iraq and the imam is saying anti-American things, of course you're going to hear that, right? I mean, we invaded their country illegally. They're allowed to be a little peeved.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my point was going to be about that we probably share fiscal conservatism. I thought, John, did you see Michael Moore on Rachel Maddow?
I sure did, Steph.
Well, not only was he great and, passionate, but I thought he made some great points when he just said, we're not broke. Wisconsin isn't broke. You're always going to have debt. He said, if you buy a car, I mean, this just made such good sense. He said, if you buy a car or a house, right, you're in debt. Mm-hmm. We all have debt. He said, but he said, you're not broke. We all probably own a car and a house or whatever, one of the two, and we're not broke.
Yeah, but that's not the point. His
point is that the money, that we're not broke. The money is just like in Washington, just like in Wisconsin, the money's in the wrong hands. It's all in the top 1%.
Absolutely.
All they have to do in Washington is repeal the tax cuts for the rich. And in Wisconsin, all he needs to do is give back the money he gave away to his special corporate interests.
Mm-hmm. And cut $150 billion in tax cuts.
All Republicans have to do is help the president get out of Iraq and Afghanistan on time, as he's asked to.
They don't care about the debt.
Boom.
They're just saying
you balance
they've
the budget.
Never cared about. They don't care about balancing a budget. No Republican president said it since Nixon. Republicans are very good at running against government. They're horrible at governing. They can't do it. And no Republican president has balanced a budget in 30 years. They run up the debt. It's amazing seeing my friends who are in the GOP so outraged over deficits for the first time in their lives, because they weren't mad when Reagan had record deficits, and they weren't mad when Bush had record deficits, and they don't acknowledge that Bill Clinton balanced a budget every year like a good conservative should. They just get mad at Obama because his is really big. It's ridiculous. They don't care. It's just what the stones they're throwing. They have no credibility on the issue.
Let me tell the where's my nostalgia music, John? Let me tell the story again. And Grandma gets repetitive. A lot of people put up.
Tell me a story.
It reminds me of the analogy of when my Republican brother tackled me when I was a child, as he was wont to do after he yelled butt kiss.
Yes. That was your cue to run.
Yes, because he was referring to Dick Butkus, the fearsome tackler in the 70s. And so he would yell Butkus and I would run, and he tackled me into a table, and my mom's Ming vase or whatever you had in the 70s broke.
The crystal egg from Risky Business.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my.
And he looked at me and said, look what you did. Mom is going to kill you. And so this is what they're doing to the workers and the unions. They ran up this deficit. They gave all the money to the rich, and now they're looking at teachers and guys. Look what you did. Look, you broke the budget now. Now
you're doing
you
a horrible
to,
job of
yes,
cleaning up Bush's mess.
Greedy unions and teachers and
whatever.
All right, there is a crack in this egg. I am very disappointed in you.
My captain hit an iceberg, and I'm going to blame the rescue boat.
Look what you did.
Look what you made me do.
Tom in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, good morning. Good.
Morning. Yeah, I just, Alabama, you can imagine what we put up with down here. And, Fox News, every store. Glenn Beck, lunchtime, the whole nine yards. And what they've done is they've turned Muslims. They've done the same thing, the propaganda machine. has turned Muslims into evil people, just like they've done Democrats. If I tell people that I'm a liberal and that the vast majority of Democrats are God-fearing American patriots, they look at me like I'm an idiot. Oh, no, that's not what Beck said. You know, Muslims are out to kill our babies, and Democrats are out to destroy our freedom and take our money.
Yes.
And it's just insane. And you know, when it comes to race, I have a little bit different twist on the word and the concept of race. We've established biologically that race is a myth, okay? So when you use race or the word racist, the connotation is that there's a fundamental difference between you and I that we can perceive as a flaw.
It's tribalism.
Right. So why don't we look at it? I don't know what it is. Is it differentism? Is it skinism? Hairism?
It's tribalism. It's fear of the other. You know, a lot of people we would call racist have no problem with a black fella if he talks and votes and dresses just like me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
And we need to reduce it to how ridiculous it is, because there's no biological difference. And we need to make people understand that, hey, we're all, well, the majority of Democrats are God-fearing American patriots. And that's just my point. We need to somehow convince this majority that, wait, we're not out to destroy America. We're out to help the poor, and we're out to, you know, and when it comes to unions, I was a sharecropper's grandson, okay? And my mother, when I was growing up, worked for 75 cents an hour in a restaurant, and then a wonderful thing happened. She went to work for the auto industry, okay? And after she went to work for the auto industry, she bought a house. And and all of a sudden now she could pay for her son to go to college. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to college, and my kids have gone to college, and my grandkids are going to go to college. How many times can that story be repeated, all because of the union bargaining system that allowed somebody that didn't have more than a seventh grade education to work hard? She was proud of her job. She went to work every day, and she worked very hard for that corporation.
Or, as Rush Limbaugh said, she was feeding off the public trough.
She was a thug.
In her sloth.
She was a thug.
In her sloth, yes.
It's pathetic, I tell you. It really is. And one question that I had is that I'm a federal employee, so I guess I'm on the gravy train too. But the unions,
so Peter
how much power do they really have? I mean, our unions do a lot of other things other than they can't negotiate pay at all. But my goodness, what about the fact that when you get crossways with the supervisor or something, they go and they stand with you and they make sure that justice is served? I mean, there's just so many other things the union do other than negotiate.
That's right, honey. Thank you. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, so much to get to.
Coastal areas in California and Oregon are closing down.
Yeah, so I think we'll be back. But
we'll see.
It will remain Friday to the Fugle saying. This coast a little shaky.
Right.
46 minutes after the hour.
So to speak.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The president gave an anti-bullying conference. Sigourney Weaver joins us next hour. She's in an amazing film called Prayers for Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Based on a true story of a gay kid that killed himself in the 70s. John, you would love this film. A very religious mom who, you know, not an evil character, thought she was, you know, doing what her God and her church wanted her to do and trying to cure him. And then has become a huge gay rights activist. And anyway, just an amazing film. And anyway, she will join us next hour. And I understand she's done some other films.
She has.
Yes.
Avatar.
Ghostbusters 2, I believe. Yes.
I am not going to make her say the line.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Don't make her do lines from Alien. Okay. all right. Oh, and ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Hey, looky here. You can see us.
Yeah.
Grandma's befuddled by all the technology this morning. Look, you can see me. I can see John Fugelsang on Skype.
But you can't see me on Ustream because I'm trapped in New York.
Yes, you are.
There is no tsunami warning. We don't have a USB cable that travels that far.
Yes, although
Not the House Parks does.
This coast may not be here by the end of the show. We'll see. I hope I'm here long enough to talk to Sigourney Weaver next hour. But anyway, but yeah, tsunami is threatening the U.S. West Coast currently. That is the breaking news on the earthquake in Japan.
Yep.
Here is some not so fun facts. Japan lies on the Ring of Fire, not the radio show.
Right.
I don't think anyone should have a Kennedy conspiracy going on here. Nothing to do with Mike Papantonio, nothing. The Ring of Fire is an arc of earthquake and volcanic zones stretching around the Pacific where about 90% of the world's quakes occur. Yep. So, yeah, but this is, even by their standards, this is huge, 8.9.
It's the fifth largest earthquake ever recorded.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff in San Francisco on the earthquake. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, it's Justin, the official firefighter paramedic of the show. How are you?
Hello, Jeff.
Wanted to remind everybody that here in earthquake country, we need to have 72 hours of provisions, but of course, you also need to be ready to pack up those provisions and leave your home in an emergency in 10 minutes. So
wow.
If you hear a tsunami siren go or a police car goes by that says you must evacuate, you need to leave your house in 10 minutes. I wonder how many folks are ready to do that.
Well, no girls I know. Let me just tell you that. There is no way I can get out of my house in 10 minutes. All right. I'm not leaving without eyeliner. Pardon me?
The only men I know who are able to pack up and leave in 10 minutes are Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Charlie Sheen. They are ready.
Do you have an earthquake?
The Federales come.
No.
You don't have an earthquake?
Don't be ridiculous.
What if water gets cut off for 5 days? What are you going
to
do?
I'll go to your house. With the dogs.
No, you will not.
Oh, yes, I will.
No, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will. Matt in Illinois, you're on the
go rent yourself out to the Aryans and survive.
Hello. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Great show.
Thank you.
Enjoy listening to you every day.
Thank you.
Have one comment, though, and I'm ultra liberal on everything, but we've got to fix our messaging, and I think the fix could be maybe Frank Luntz coming out of the closet and helping us with semantics, because we've got to stop saying rich aren't paying their fair share. The reality is they are paying well beyond what everybody else
is
paying.
Yeah, how is when Bank of America is paying zero? How is the unions giving up concessions?
Income tax in general. I mean, I do realize that we need to change, but that's an underlying problem with our policies. I mean, we need to start taxing these corporations.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what Michael Moore's point was. I thought it was brilliant. It was just, you know, we're not broke. The money is all in the hands of, what is it, he say, like 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is incredible when you look at the banks, like the percentage they paid, they're not paying their fair share.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for Mitt Romney to be president and no one complains about deficits ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
They will forget it, like regarding Henry, they'll forget it right away.
Yeah.
Jerry in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
Hey, I worship the ground you walk on, Stephanie.
Oh,
Mooks.
Thank you, Jerry.
As a black man, I wanted to respond to the two white guys who were calling trying to defend the Tea Party.
Yeah.
If they don't like being called racists, why then do they continue to personally attack Barack Obama? I mean, the Tea Party movement is primarily white, are they not?
Yes.
And the Tea Party is all carry these signs with all these gross depictions of President Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not all of them, no.
Yeah, because there's some conservative hosts who are claiming that there weren't but only two of them on the fringe element.
Oh no, they lie about things even we have tape of, Jerry. We have pictures, we have tape, and they still say it didn't happen. You know, there is literally video of these black congressmen being spit on. But obviously they're lying when they say people called them the N-word, but you can see one of them wiping the spit off his face. I mean, mm-hmm. it's and they deny that. It's like, oh, he's lying.
Michelle Bachmann claiming that it never happened. Obviously, she hasn't been watching YouTube lately.
Yeah. Jerry, don't you love this big blow-up over the NPR thing when someone accidentally says something true that gets caught on tape? I mean, all he said, basically, is the Republican Party has been hijacked by this far-right group that has some very racist elements. Like, everyone's like, oh, what?
Exactly.
What? That is so true. I mean, seriously, haven't, like, I don't know, the likes of George Will and Peggy Noonan, it's kind of the same thing.
Dan Rather was fired for telling the truth with a false document, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Bush got out of the National Guard. He skeeved his way out. And it's no different than this with the NPR guy.
Yeah.
But James O'Keefe, man, how is that guy still walking around?
Oh, boy. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, by the way, with a very good point at the Peter King hearings.
This hearing today is playing into Al-Qaeda right now around the world.
Yep.
Huh, guess who else said that? Bush security official. Al-Qaeda could use King's anti-Muslim narrative as a recruiting tool. Oh.
And they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More than one person that worked in intelligence in the Bush administration said that as well.
This is exactly what happened when they had the mosque protests here in my city. You know, it's like the people that are in the Middle East, the imams, the right-wing fundamentalist Muslims, want to say America's claims of religious freedom are a lie. And Peter King is making them right.
Yep. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Sigourney Weaver and much more as we continue in Hour 2 on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, the water has not hit California yet, thank God.
Although,
6 minutes after the hour.
Although 8-foot waves have been hitting Maui.
Yes.
So,
wow. Yes.
Yeah. We're at 700 feet. I think we're
yes.
safe.
Yes. 23. What am I reading? 23-foot wave
Japan.
In Japan.
In
yeah.
Northern Japan. Yeah.
8.9 quake has hit Japan overnight. In case you just tuned in. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will keep you updated on all of that.
Hundreds dead there. More hundreds more missing.
Yeah.
In Japan.
Really, some horrific pictures. Yeah.
It's the fifth largest earthquake on record.
And Stephanie. There's some sort of nuclear plant.
Yeah, there's a nuclear plant
yes.
On fire.
Great.
In Japan.
Mm. By the way, we were saying, Jim said we're due in here in California for an earthquake, and I have some, it's not really scientific evidence, but as you know, Chris, they just finished all the work at my house, so I'm pretty sure that's pretty much when it's going to.
Yeah, just.
Do you remember the Northridge quake? I just finished all the stuff in my house. I just had my new deck and roof. Right. Everything's good. My house is A-okay, good to go.
Just in time for an earthquake to
yes.
knock it all down.
Mm.
Although, my track record is being out of town for extended periods when the big earthquakes hit.
Ah!
In Germany and
do you have
Chicago.
Any trips coming up?
So, no.
Okay.
I don't know where else.
All right, StephanieMiller.com. Hey, guess what? There's a new fancy sponsorship page there.
What?
StephanieMiller.com/sponsor. You can sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is fancy.
What sort of magic is that?
So if you have a small business, here's your chance to
just
advertise on the radio.
Birthday, anything,
exactly.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Howdy do. Jeff from Ithaca writes, Steph, I was recently traveling through Maine, came across a show on FM. FM? What an idea. Wow, low vocal frequencies are making me tingle. We sent a tingle up his leg.
Yes.
I was able to suspend disbelief and imagine Steph was talking to me, just me. I am Jeff. Everyone's voices sounded so rich, I gained 2 pounds before the end of the show. We want more FM's shit. So do we! Yes!
Mm-hmm.
Good idea!
Okay.
You know, in Madison, Wisconsin, we're on an FM 92.1. We're number one in
yeah.
the market there. Isn't that delightful?
Madison, City by the Bay. Oh, it actually kind of is.
Yes.
Well, it's on an
lake.
It's City by the Isthmus.
By the Isthmus.
By the Isthmus.
Which doesn't
roll off the tongue. City by the Isthmus.
Yeah,
meanwhile,
that's a hard word to say.
Tracy writes, you're no longer on the radio here. Life sucks. I live in Jacksonville,
yeah.
the FM station that carried progressive. Oh, it turned to classic rock. Oh, no liberal stations here. Oh, how unusual.
All yeah. Ted Nugent all the
but,
time.
Yes, like in Miami, where they replaced us with a sports station that has a third of the ratings.
Yeah.
Or in Columbus, Ohio, where they replaced us with a right-wing station that has a zero rating now.
That doesn't seem very capitalistic.
Yeah,
but
it's almost like communism.
You can listen to us by going to ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Hello.
There you go.
That's how you listen to us on your computer. And you can take us with you by downloading the Ustream app for your smartphone.
Oh, that sounds like witchcraft.
Exactly.
It is. Witchcraft.
It is.
Exactly.
And so, you can even watch us in your car while you're driving, although we don't recommend that.
No, the bad idea.
All right. Coming up at the bottom of the hour.
While you're texting at the same time.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver. Next hour, the former mayor of Madison, Governor Wanker, speaking of...
The dirty trick is what those 14 have played for the past 3 weeks.
Uh-huh,
I mean, the
yeah.
fact of the matter
uh-huh.
is we live in a democracy, and to participate in the democracy, you got to be in the arena.
Uh-huh.
And the arena is not in Rockford. It's not in Freeport. It's not in Chicago. It's in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, guess what? It was illegal what you did.
Uh-huh.
Forcing the bill through without legally required public notice, the senators may have ensured the bill will be declared void. Wisconsin law requires all government meetings to be conducted publicly and with advance notice, except under very limited circumstances, which I'm going to guess the governor's going to say this was an emergency. This was the limited circumstance that they're talking about.
It's a huge emergency. That's why we stripped everything else out of the bill.
Yeah. A few Republican-aligned outlets are now trying to claim the law was not violated because the conference committee was announced 2 hours in advance, yet there's no evidence whatsoever that it would have been, this is in the law, it must have been impossible or impractical to give the full day's notice. In other words, the guy that, remember the one Democrat that was screaming about this, his arguments are clearly consistent with the Attorney General's understanding of the law.
It was Peter Barca.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He literally said, this is not a rule, it's a law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your point?
Yeah.
Well, the Republicans have never been.
Yeah.
One.
So is only Congress
laws.
Can declare war, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, by the way, here
they
is.
They only follow the laws they like.
Here is Wisconsin State Representative Peter Barkin.
We are in court right now seeking to invalidate this conference committee report that's before us.
By the way, a poll showed majority support the recall of two Wisconsin Republican senators already, and this is before they pulled this move. This is from Survey USA. Solid majorities in two Republican Senate districts support the recall of the two senators. Dan Karpenke and Randy Hopper. Mm-hmm. When asked if they'd vote for Hopper or someone else if a recall were held now, 54, someone else. I love that. When just fill in the blank wins, you know you're
right.
Anybody. Just anybody but him.
So how soon can they get to the recall?
54% to 43% said they'd vote for Hopper. In Karpenke's district, numbers even worse. 57% for fill in the blank, 41% for him. Gets even more interesting. The poll taken, as I said, before they pulled this dirty trick. 56% of voters in Kopenke's district, 54% in Hopper's district, said if their senator voted for Walker's plan, it would make them more likely to vote for someone else. They obviously did vote for it. So,
yeah, I say Wisconsin, recall them all and try to not replace them with an Austrian weightlifter.
Yeah. That's our tip. By the way, this from our friend the David Bender, who knows a little something about a little something.
Yes.
Democratic strategist extraordinaire. He was former Howard Dean's campaign manager. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, Steph, the matchup between David Prosser, Republican, and Joanne Kloppenburg, Democrat for the state Supreme Court on April 5th, just got very interesting. It's a statewide vote, and the balance of power on the state Supreme Court is at stake. Right now, there's four Republicans, three Democrats. One of those Republicans is Prosser. Expects lots of organizing and millions of dollars poured into this election, which is much like a political election with debates and everything. If Democrats win, the legality of what just took place may be in even greater question. So, go, Joanne Kloppenburg.
Well, the entire thing wasn't even done to gut unions, right? It was just done to gut the Democratic Party, to take away their entire fundraising
well,
base.
Well, exactly. What's his name?
They
Fitzgerald.
Admitted.
If Fitz, by the way, a lot of people said Scott Fitzgerald. Get it? F. Scott Fitzgerald.
F. Scott Fitzgerald. Ha! Yeah.
He's the Republican. He admitted on Fox News. It was just like, oh, we're just all among us friends here. This is all just debate, making sure.
Friends in the microphones.
Making sure Obama that Obama loses.
Yeah.
Another Republican exposes himself.
To young children at a schoolyard. No, not this
no.
Time.
Well, that happens from time to time.
But Megyn Kelly, less innocent.
Steve in Tempe, Arizona. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Big fan for many years.
Thank you.
My son is going to school in Tokyo.
Oh my God! Is he okay?
And, well, I got a call from my wife this morning about the and that's a massive earthquake. She said that it covered a wide area too. And it went on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
He lives about 40 miles south of Tokyo, and he takes the train to go to school in Tokyo. But he felt it while he was in the shower this morning. And, again, it was a wide area. It's like 250 miles long and 100 miles wide or something like that.
And it was only about 15 miles deep, which is a really shallow earthquake.
Right.
So that's why it was felt over this wide area.
Right. But here is what I find very strange. They had a 7-point-something earthquake last week in the same area, and nobody reported it.
Hmm.
My wife called me because my son felt that one. She called me in the same fashion in the morning. They just had an earthquake. I said, is he okay? But I didn't see anything on the web or in the newspaper or on the network. So
well, maybe they're so used to them. A 7's like a nothing. That's
well,
like,
I,
you know.
I actually saw some reports on ABC News and stuff like that. But, you know, that was kind of... you know, that didn't have any tsunami warnings that spread around the world. That's why it wasn't reported.
It's like
widely.
It's when it's 40 below in Chicago in the winter. They're like, shorts weather.
Yeah.
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 All right.
You should live there, Steph, for a year.
I did. I lived in Chicago for a year.
Yes, all three of us.
I lived there 3 years.
Yeah, I lived there for a year.
Not together. Oof, dear God.
No, oh, God.
Kareem in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Steph. This is, I just wanted to start out by saying, you know, I'm an African-American and a Muslim. Uh-huh. And as I hear a lot of these right-wingers talk, and they're just absolutely incensed by the fact that people might think that given the rhetoric, the actual stuff that is coming out of their mouth, we might think that they're a racist or a homophobe or any number of things.
Yes.
They kind of illustrate the point here, don't you think, that Mr. Ellison was trying to make. That you got 7 million American Muslims here, and, they know Muslim theology. They know the Quran, and it doesn't say anything that these terrorists are espousing.
As we've said many times, they twist Islam like some Christians twist the Bible, you know? I mean,
absolutely. Yep. However, you know, I have to say the Tea Party, what the words coming out of Tea Party mouths kind of lend themselves a little bit more easily to this type of, conclusion that they are racist. So it mm-hmm. actually makes it kind of interesting that they are so angry when someone calls them on their crap when they're doing the exact same thing that they accuse us of to Muslims.
Yep.
It's amazing. Islam does not lend itself as easily to terrorism as the Tea Party logic or illogic does to racism, homophobia, and extremism.
Yep, absolutely. Good points.
And by the way, if you're going to break up a criminal conspiracy, you need someone on the inside. So
yeah, exactly.
Fellow Muslims would be.
Well, this,
but why does he hate America? That's my question for
Jim,
the caller.
This is
why
what
do
I was,
hate America?
This is what I was saying. A former Department of Defense official in the Bush administration says, what do you call it, King's Crusade is helping homegrown terrorism. Jennifer Bryson spent a few years doing counterterrorism work while working for intelligence, yada, yada, pointed out King's fear-mongering is dividing the world between Muslims and non-Muslims, the same tactic used by Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda to recruit. While the issue merits attention by Congress, as she said, King's approach is semantically shaped to point a finger at an entire community.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
Matthew Levitt, another Bush intelligence person, said the American Muslim community's practices and participation in mainstream society has not only served to successfully combat homegrown terrorism, but to help eliminate the risks. He points to the families of the Northern Virginia Five. Remember them? Mm-hmm. They reached out to CARE, the group that King paints as extremist, who then alerted the FBI, cooperation that proved vital in facilitating authorities' initial investigation.
That's my point.
Of the plot.
They alerted the FBI and then stole a political fundraising opportunity for me because that terrorist thing didn't happen. Thanks a lot.
Wow,
that's a good Peter King.
Yeah, I didn't know you had that in you.
Even the U.S. Attorney General in New York from the Ground Zero area said the Muslim community there routinely provide the FBI and prosecutors with valuable leads and evidence, but now he's got to spend valuable time reassuring local imams who are terribly worried about the stigma coming from King's hearings that the U.S. government means them no harm. Yeah, thanks, King. But now they're spending their time having to reassure them about Peter King rather than have them, talk about, extremists.
Peter Al-Malik.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
What?
I've seen you dance. I don't think you dip anywhere near in sync with.
No.
Well, that's because you don't put your hand up on my hip. And
I dip, and
then I
wait
dip, and then
30 seconds, and then you dip.
And then we dip, and if you were doing it right, I'd be able to dip.
Right, but you're faking the funk.
Yeah, thank you.
You are, in fact, fronting.
Last time I saw you dance, you were dancing dangerously close to your pool. I really wanted to see you. Tip in.
I was there. I saw that.
I think Jim's lovely wife once danced into my bushes, and I had to be rescued, as I recall.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
She was missing for days.
Jim's... Brandon in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brandon.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Good. You got a brother in Japan, huh?
Yeah, he went to Japan because his wife took a job teaching English for a year, and they're in Sendai right now. And I found out because my mom actually contacted them because of Facebook, finding out what was going on.
Right.
The last time they got a hold of him was like 4 hours ago. But I guess it's pretty bad there because people are on the roofs. And
Sendai,
you know,
of course, is the town in northern Japan that was really devastated by that tsunami. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, some of those pictures are horrifying, Brady. Yeah. You see, like, I mean, literally, like, fishing vessels are, like, hitting houses.
Yeah.
I mean,
entire towns are being washed away. Ugh.
Yeah. Your brother's okay, as far as you know, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Right.
Well,
okay.
Our thoughts are with him.
Yeah, our thoughts are with you, honey. Okay. Yeah, we will keep you updated. It's an 8.9 quake. That is, wow. I mean, that is huge.
It's incredible.
Bill in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I refuse to get defensive when somebody gets angry because you point out that a significant portion of the Tea Partiers' major problem is we have a black man in the White House. You're a racist? Too bad. You don't like it? Too bad. I don't see anybody over at Fox News having any conscience at all about putting that stuff on the air, and you can imagine what they do in the back rooms. Meanwhile, over at PBS, they're all falling on their swords. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
We need to get a spine in the Democratic Party. And instead, we got Harry Reid channeling Neville Chamberlain, for crying out loud.
Well, Bill, that's a little unfair.
That's not fair.
But Bill, I think that you know, that's the only thing I was saying about this NPR story is it. I love how we all pretend we're shocked when someone says, you know, it seems like the Republican Party has been hijacked by this far right organization that has racist elements. It's like, wait,
what? How dare you?
What? I don't. Oh. Yeah, I think George Will said that. Okay.
Soon you'll be accusing the Nazis of being anti-Semitic. Where do you get this stuff?
Oh, boy. Oh, hey.
I'm appalled.
Speaking of which, funny you should bring that up. Mm-hmm. It's Pamela Atlas Juggs Geller.
Huh?
We call her Atlas Juggs.
Yeah.
Oh. Compares opposition to Muslim radicalization hearings to pre-war Nazi Germany.
Oh, really?
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Springtime for Atlas Juggs.
Oh.
And, yes, far-right anti-Islam blogger Pam Geller.
Yeah.
In response to organizations who oppose Peter King's hearings, she said, this is what it must have looked like in pre-war Nazi Germany. One after another, they all fall down.
Right. That was a right-wing regime supported by American right-wingers, Charles Lindbergh and George Bush's grandpa.
Yep.
It's always springtime for Geller, apparently. It's always pre-war Nazi Germany, who regularly invokes the Holocaust and Nazis to attack those with whom she disagrees,
exactly.
Including the President, Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan, and the Democratic Party.
Yep.
Always
yeah.
springtime.
Well, it was the National Socialist Party.
Atlas Juggs.
Yeah, the Socialist Party.
There was
on.
National Socialist Party.
Yeah.
So that's why you can do that. So
yeah,
they're Nazis.
So the worst thing you did was build the freeway, because it was a government, big government program. Oh, Eisenhower did the same thing.
Oops.
The guy who actually liberated the camps, unlike Reagan. Mm-hmm. In fact, thought he did.
Yeah, Eisenhauer modeled it on Germany's Autobahn.
Well, and these people all were in love with the 50s, how great things were back then, because of two big socialist reasons. Eisenhauer taxing the hell out of the rich and the GI Bill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hey, by the way, I don't know how we stumbled onto Nazism. Jim, did you check out these pictures of Eva Braun? Hubba hubba, huh?
What? The one I saw was
hubba,
not terribly
hubba.
Flattering.
Yeah. Boy, she's if I was Hitler, I'd marry her and never touch her, too.
Pictures of Eva Braun have recently surfaced through Life magazine. The searches for the web for Eva Braun have risen over 300% in one day.
Wow.
Hmm.
Would you? I guess I'll do some romance music, please.
I'll take
young
Nazi
Ava.
Hotties for 400, please.
Alan. Nazi hotties.
She first met Hitler in 1929 when he was a rising star in the Nazi Party.
Hmm. How many of us can say that?
Mm. He was introduced to the 17-year-old as Herr Wolf.
Herr Wolf. It's a clever disguise, you see. And I'll hide behind this little mustache.
See, people
so no
lied.
Recognize me.
People lied even before there was Craigslist and dating online. While she was modeled for the official Nazi photographer, she became Hitler's companion despite being kept hidden from the public and often left alone. A depressive, she attempted suicide twice, but still remained loyal to Hitler in the end. Boy,
I had a baby named Suri.
I thought I had bad taste.
I'm kidding.
In the last days of the war, just before they ended their lives, she became his wife. Right. Oh, see, that's a fear of commitment. All right, I'm going to kill myself. Yeah. I might as marry you. Fine.
Let's have a bunker honeymoon.
One of the images shows her in blackface, apparently dressed up as American actor Al Jolson.
Great.
Who is dressed up as someone else.
Yeah, who put on blackface as well.
Exactly. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Sigourney Weaver next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number out the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Ay vey! Seattle, San Francisco, Santa Monica, California, expecting some tsunami waves to arrive sometime in the 11 o'clock hour Pacific. Yikes. All right, so, John, good luck in hour three.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll miss all of you. Okay. You look great on Ustream right now, though. You at home can log on. If you want to see Steph and the Mooks drown, go to Ustream.
Yeah. Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. I imagine we'll get our numbers up in that hour.
Oh, those times that were posted were Eastern, so it's going to happen during the show.
Fantastic. Great.
John, good luck. Mm-hmm. Hope you prepared.
I'm live.
Pretty ready. I've got your show prep you didn't use.
All right. Kids, I have been talking to you about this unbelievable movie that's going to air again on Lifetime called Prayers for Bobby. John, I was telling you about it. It's based on a true story of a religious mom in the 70s. Mm-hmm.
Very inspiring.
Yeah, whose son was gay and killed himself. She became a gay rights activist, and Sigourney Weaver plays the mother and is brilliant as usual. And what a thrill and an honor this is. Sigourney Weaver is here. Good morning, Sigourney.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine since I last stalked you in a weight room in a hotel in Santa Barbara, which you probably don't remember, thankfully, for me.
I think I spent a lot of time in that weight room, actually.
It was many years ago, and I completely geeked out on you.
Thank you for doing this. It's always a pleasure to talk about this particular project.
I want to talk about this, and I have to remind you, we actually bonded over our mutual love of Christopher Durang, my favorite playwright from college.
And he's written a new play that I hope to do called, I'm probably going to get the names out of order wrong, but it's called Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well,
It is. Very charming.
I am such a huge fan of yours in general, and I got to tell you, this movie, Prayers for Bobby, which aired on Lifetime and is going to air again on Lifetime because it was just so unbelievably received, and you were just—I literally was weeping, and I called our friend Daniel Sladek, who was one of your producers, to tell him that I had to talk to you about this.
Well, I'm so glad you did because I think it is such a very poignant true story about the Griffith family, and I think that all of us worked very hard to tell the story as best we could, and now we'd really like to get it out there into the world. For instance, I'm shooting in Barcelona now, and there's a very big, vibrant gay community, and no one's heard of it, and it's frustrating because it's a story that can really get a conversation going between a young gay person and their family about, wanting to come out.
Sigourney, as I say, you were amazing at it, and I haven't cried like that since you died in Avatar. But tell us, for people that don't know what the story is about, it is based on a true story, and tell us about it and who you play.
Yes, I had the great privilege of playing Mary Griffith. Mary was a mother of three kids in outside of San Francisco in the 70s, and she had four kids, actually. And her youngest son, Bobby, was gay, and they were a Christian family, and Mary's church was very adamantly against homosexuality, felt that it was a life choice and a choice that you could change. And so Mary was, she was very ignorant, and she was very fearful for Bobby and for his soul. And she really went up against him, wanted him to, you know, to forsake who he was. And in the end, he was estranged from his family and committed suicide. And then the story follows Mary's kind of awakening to sort of what her attitude toward Bobby's homosexuality, what it did, and the rest of the story is really about Mary coming to terms with her ignorance and her fear and her prejudice, and reaching out to PFLAG, parents and friends of lesbian and lesbians and gays, and she became a major spokesperson for PFLAG and still is. Yep. Always, you know, at a lot of these events, because she doesn't want other families to make the same mistakes that hers did tragically.
It is a remarkable and heartbreaking story. And, you know, the scene I was talking about, of course, that I just wept, you know, I'm sure everybody did, is, you know, when you are giving that speech at the town council meeting in support of a gay day, and, you know, you talk about urging people to think before they say or voice or support homophobia because a child is listening. You know, the guilt that you can see your character struggle with over what happened, you know, and then the way she's now become, you know, marching in the gay pride parade in that final scene. I mean, it really is just a incredibly moving film.
Well, I'm so glad that you responded that way, and I think I really connected. I had the chance to meet Mary. She was very generous. You know, we spent several hours together just sort of talking about especially where she started this, where she started the story, you know, who she was then and what she was so fearful of. And, you know, she showed me her Bible that had all the things against gays, you know, underlined three times in red. And she was just so forthcoming and such an amazing person. And I think what we just connected as mothers, because I think all parents are fearful for their children when they make choices that are different and are unconventional. And the big lesson for me was just reminding myself that we have to respect our children's choices and keep communication open.
Well, and the arc that she goes through from the scene where you say, I will not have a gay son, to where she is in tears and saying, I killed my son, and then, you know, again, trying to turn it into something positive for others. I mean, it really was such powerful stuff. And I know you won the Trevor Life Award from the Trevor Project, who I work with as well, which is the only 24-hour suicide hotline for gay kids in the country.
Yes, they're an amazing group. And, you know, I think, you know, the Griffith family are, all of them, I met the kids too, you know, Bobby's, all of his creations are around the house, you know, the dolls that he made and the drawings he made and his whole very creative spirit. And, and so it was just a great experience to meet the family and to help them take their message out. You know, because so many families, I think, need support to keep, you know, keep the doors open and keep the dialogue open when, you know, when having these kinds of conversations about life choices.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not even sure I'm supposed to tell this story, but it's a behind-the-scenes. I won't mention names. It's a behind-the-scenes story of this. As, you know, many people know, it takes, you know, many years sometimes for films to get done. And the producer, who's a friend of mine, of course, you know, it was one of those things where you could not have been more perfect in the role and been more spectacular in it. But he was talking about, there was another actress originally attached that wanted to go a much darker way, and he said, I didn't think this mother was evil. I think she just did what she thought her God and her church wanted to do. And I really agree with that, don't you?
I do. I mean, I think if anything, Mary was so frightened for her son, and frankly, she was much more concerned about all of them being in heaven together than how Bobby would fare on earth. So she had, and it wasn't really her church. She sort of put together, I think, a lot of different ideas about God that were very threatened by what he was saying, because she wanted to believe literally, and the Bible contradicts itself quite a bit about things too.
Yeah.
So she really had a long way to go before she could understand even sort of what category he was talking about, because I think, again, she felt that it was a lifestyle choice, and that was just, you know, that's simply not the case.
Well,
and
yeah, Sigourney, there are so many, I think, moments like this, that, you know, particularly your film, that are winning hearts and minds. We just had our friend Shelley Wright on a couple of days ago, that, you know, is the country singer that came out, and I was telling her one of her most powerful moments. She was on Larry King, and she said, "I'm a Christian and I'm gay." There are those moments that break down. I mean, I came out this year, and I come from a very Republican family, and I join people from, you know, people like the Bush and McCain and Cheney families that are saying this isn't a partisan issue anymore. This is about being able to look in your loved one's eyes and say, "I love you, but I don't believe you deserve the same rights that I have." And I think that makes it more human, don't you think, and not so much, you know, left or right, or you know, this or religious or non.
Well, that's it, and I think that my industry can really do a lot more to help people understand this issue. When I think of Prop 8, I think this is how I sort of picture it. I picture someone saying, "No, I think marriage should just be for straight people." But this has nothing to do with that nice couple down the road, does it? You know, Bill and Bob, because I love them. You know, it's almost like it was presented so politically, people didn't connect to it personally. They weren't. And they made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
And once you bring it home to the individual, to the family, to what we, you know, the pursuit of happiness, which is guaranteed in our Constitution for everybody, you know, then things like Prop 8 to me are just simply illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of my favorite stories is a listener that, you know, was so afraid of what to tell his kids. And he finally said, "You know, our neighbors, you know, the lesbian, you know, the Sally and Sue." And, you know, so then they explained it and the kids go, "Okay, can we watch cartoons?"
Exactly. You know, so I you know, I congratulate you on your coming out, and I'd love to hear more about that sometime.
Well, I've just, because, you know, thank you, honey. I've been such a, you know, just seriously a huge fan of yours for so long, and what are you working on? I have to know what you're doing next as well.
Right. Well, I'm making a movie in Spain called Red Lights with Robert De Niro and Cillian Murphy about, it's sort of about parapsychology, you know, sort of the darker side of what they investigate with the paranormal and psychic power and remote photography and all these, you know, telekinesis and all these scientific things that are not real science. It seems like the serious Ghostbusters.
Speaking
real,
of which,
you know,
I have resisted.
I don't try to get rid of ghosts, but I try to say, you know, this is not a ghost.
Listen, and speaking of which, I have resisted all of my listeners' suggestions that I please make you do lines from Alien. I refuse to make a Golden Globe winning actress say, "Stay away from her, you bitch." All right, get away from
her. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Although it's so useful in so many situations in life.
Prayers for Bobby, which Sigourney Weaver is just amazing in. It is upcoming on Lifetime again. They are re-airing it Thursday, March 24th and Friday, March 25th. Sigourney, such a pleasure. Please come in and see us when you're out in L.A.
I would love that.
All right.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thanks, Sigourney. There she goes.
All right.
There she goes, Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Cool.
Wow.
She we
comes
just
out
talking
at night mostly. Mostly.
Mostly.
Don't do it. Oh, my God. Her new film sounds like my dream come true. It's like The New Entity, my favorite movie starring Barbara Hershey, but now
that's
Sigourney
Weaver. That's your
other
favorite movie?
Yeah, you know, where she gets raped by a sound effect. You remember.
I want to give you props for not asking her about Ghostbusters 3. That was a moral choice on your part, I think.
Yeah. Has she signed on for that? Do we know?
How much of a spaz did I sound like saying I'm a big fan? Who isn't, you moron? Everyone's a big fan.
Well, she's been in every movie ever made, for crying out loud.
Annie Hall.
She's one of those people, they send her, you know, stuff, and it's like 7 pages. You're like, oh, yes, that's right. Gorillas in the Mist and Alien.
Mm-hmm. And Dave and
yes.
Copycat. And
yes.
I think she's one of only two actresses to be up for two Oscars in the same night and lose. Oh, she still hasn't won an Oscar. She's been up for so many times.
Damn it.
It's an outrage.
Damn it, Academy, don't make me come over there.
I think her IMDb page broke the internet.
And I hear she's in a hilarious Funny or Die video.
She's a great stage actor, too. She was in the original cast of Hurley Burley. She did a play with Bill Murray after about 9/11. She's just a great artist all around.
47 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Dougal Singh on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every puzzle.
Oh, boy, howdy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I have completed my every mistake worksheet.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some fun stack. People with crazier exes than me.
Oh,
next
really?
Hour. Yeah, stay
really?
Tuned. Uh-huh.
I don't believe
that. I don't believe that.
Denise Richards doesn't have crazier exes than you.
Jazz and Madison, moving right along quickly. Hello, Jazz.
Hello, Steph. How
yes.
are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I got to tell you, here in Madison, it is just unbelievable. We're going to have a actual tractorcade tomorrow at the Capitol.
I know.
I'm not kidding you when I tell you, I am going to be on the back of one, bullhorn in hand, okay? As your one and only lesbian, tax-paying, business-owning Wisconsinite.
Yes.
This man is out of control.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to talk to...
He breaks every law he can come up with, and he has these Fitzgoober brothers just out there, like... Following him around and being led around by the nose.
Yep.
It really, it's kind of distressing. I watch our assembly Democrats come out literally out of the assembly in tears. These are my lawmakers. Mm. My lawmakers are crying over the fact that the law is just being totally ignored.
Yeah, trampled. Exactly. Jazz, fight that good fight. We are with you in the tractorcade tomorrow.
Elitist farmers.
Former mayor, yeah, exactly. Former mayor.
With their fancy tractors.
Former Madison mayor, Paul Soglin, right after the top of the hour. I thought Sigourney Weaver made a great point. She's in Prayers for Bobby. Oh, by the way, prayersforbobby.com. I believe they have a website. You should
Right. And it's available on DVD. It's available on Netflix. And Lifetime is also going to be running it on March 24th and 25th.
Yeah. Anyway, no, but she was saying about, she made a good point about Prop 8. It was too political and not personalized enough. And
exactly.
That's why we were saying that the important thing about people coming out is so people go, oh, it's my sister, it's my nurse, it's my doctor, it's my favorite radio host, my favorite whoever, you know.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah.
That's the reason Dick Cheney is to the left of Obama on marriage equality.
Well, yeah. I mean, and literally in polling, you know, that is the biggest predicator of people being for gay rights is if they know somebody.
Yeah.
Which, anyway, I thought it was interesting timing. The president had this conference on bullying, which obviously there's been a lot of talk about bullying. And again, not just kids get bullied for perception of anything different, not just being gay, obviously. He was obviously made a joke about his large ears and funny name.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you escape bullying? You become president because then everyone leaves you alone.
Oh,
then
yeah. No one bullies him now. They're so supportive these days.
Yes.
Which is generous considering he's a Kenyan Muslim.
He had a White House conference on bullying. Some 13 million students, are bullied every year according to statistics. And, you know, putting them at greater risk, obviously, for everything. Kids seen as different because of their race, clothes, disability, sexual orientation, more likely to be bullied. He said if there's one goal of this conference, it's to dispel the myth that bullying is just a harmless rite of passage or an inevitable part of growing up. Michelle Obama said parents need to be more involved in their children's lives. Oh,
that's
you need to be a socialist, even in your own house.
Boy.
Sure.
Next
big
be telling
government
them,
parents
the rugs.
All up in their kids' business.
I think that the
how
problem
much you
with
want
bullying,
to bet someone in Right Wing World is going to criticize her for that?
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Telling parents what to do again. Oh, get more involved in your children's schools and activities.
The right wing always confuses gentle suggestions with ordering people to do things.
No, there'll be something wrong with it.
Except when it comes to drugs.
Let's dive into Right Wing World and see what they're saying these days. Drug addict gas bag Rush Limbaugh here.
I think it's pretty ironic that the bust in union thugs... are trying to prevent the elected representatives in the Wisconsin legislature from doing their work by chanting, "This is what democracy looks like." This is what, meaning their protests, meaning their thuggery. Yeah, shouting down elected representatives, buying off the Democrat Party, subverting and intimidating the elected majority who are doing the work of the people, doing what they were elected to do. That's what these people call democracy.
Don't you love how everything starts with a lie? The whole premise,
yeah,
of course.
Bust in from Madison to Madison.
It was great hearing Sarah Palin go off against those Democratic legislators for leaving the state and not doing the job they were elected to do. I love that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's rich. Rush Limbaugh again.
Folks just love all this talk from the protesters about how the Republicans have declared war on the hardworking middle class of Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Republicans have declared war on the hardworking middle class in Wisconsin. You know, the hardworking middle class families that break through doors, force their way in through broken windows, occupied buildings for weeks on end. Every hardworking middle class family I know has the time and the inclination to take time off from their jobs and protest for 3 weeks. Mm. Every hardworking American family I know is led by a long haired, maggot infested Michael Moore fan.
Oh, you hear that, Madison? You're all long-haired, maggot-infested Michael Moore fans.
Rush is throwing
down. I'm sorry. Did he say occupy? That's the people's house, you moron. Yeah. Occupy, like it's there's some kind of foreign invasion force.
Yeah,
it is
sure
the people's house.
The only people bust in are the Tea Partiers.
Yes, thank you.
Coke
all right,
fiends.
We will continue right with
Coke
World.
Wars.
And the former mayor of Madison, Paul Soglin, who may also be future mayor.
Yep.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You guys think you have a bad job.
What?
How about the cameraman, the television cameraman that has to stand there on the West Coast waiting for the tsunami wave? Really? Do I have to stand this close? Seriously?
This footage is incredible on CNN.
Yeah, we want you to go to the beach where there's a tsunami wave about to hit and get a good shot of that.
Unfortunately, all of our news channels in here are out except for Fox News. So we're watching it on Fox News.
Yeah.
But they actually have good...
Well, they'd be reporting the news that, once again, Jim proved that God is, in fact, a Democrat. Guess what the Republicans are cutting in the new budget? Tsunami relief and preparedness.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Jindal saying a volcano
monitoring.
That's
who needs
crazy.
That?
Crazy. That's voodoo. Ooh, look out. Volcano erupting behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Not green screen.
Well, all Bobby Jindal has to do is exercise the demons out of that volcano. And
like
he
did
out.
From his former girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. There go the
Bobby.
There
Thank
go
you,
the
Bobby.
Demons.
Thank
oh
you,
no, it's a pyroclastic cloud. Oops.
I love you, Bobby.
That's this week on Bobby Jindal, Boy Governor.
By the way, Bob writes about our right-wing caller, Kevin, from Pennsylvania. Steph, so Kevin would be all for investigating Peter King for his associations with the well-known terrorist group, the IRA. Oh, I'm sure he would be completely consistent
Watch my facial expressions when I'm telling you to screw yourself.
Yeah. So if you're a terrorist in America, speak with a cute Irish accent and Peter King will like you just fine.
That's right.
Agora.
You're Keebler Elf. You're fine.
What?
All right.
Keebler elves aren't Irish.
You're thinking of the Lucky Charms guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Keebler elves are American.
Yeah, they're after me real Americans.
Governor Wanker.
They're after me.
Followed the law, and yet allows us to move forward with these reforms, which are indeed fiscal. They're not in conflict with that requirement for a quorum, but they are indeed fiscal.
They're not.
And Governor Walker has signed it into law.
Wanker.
Yeah,
this
so
morning.
That means Governor Walker wants to thank you, Tea Partiers, for believing collective bargaining for teachers hurts a deficit, but tax cuts for millionaires don't.
Yeah. You know what I say? I say that Scott Fitzgerald. Get it? Scott Fitzgerald.
If you should be mad at anybody, you should be those Senate Democrats.
Yeah.
The Senate Democrats who fled the state. Talk about lack of democracy.
That was Jeff Fitzgerald from the Wisconsin House.
Oh.
Not the Senate, yes.
Not that Scott Fitzgerald.
Right.
Yeah, they left to try to buy some time for the workers of our state. Uh-huh. Why do they hate us?
Wisconsin State Senator John Erpenbach.
We made it very clear to the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin what the true agenda was for the Republicans and Governor Walker all along.
And by the way, the President's carney chimed in on what's happening in Wisconsin.
He believes that the actions last night taken in Wisconsin violate the principles that he laid out about coming together and addressing these issues together rather than pursuing partisan goals.
I just want to say one thing. It'd be nice to hear Obama say that himself, but he's really doing the smart thing by laying back, because the less that the Wisconsin Republicans can tie him to the protesters, the better it is for him.
Did you say something positive about President Obama?
I say something positive about President Obama every time I'm on your show.
My goodness. Paul Soglin, former mayor of Madison, joins us now, and maybe future mayor of Madison. Good morning, Paul.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. You were mayor. The election day is coming up April 5th, right?
April 5th.
And you've been mayor for much of the last three decades, haven't you? Something.
Oh, 73 to 79, 89 to 97.
Oh, just that. All right. So, Paul, tell me what is the feeling in Madison today, and what's going to happen this weekend?
Well, we're going to have actually one of the most exciting weekends of the month with the tractors coming in.
Yeah.
Excuse me. One of the points of all of this is that the support for the public employees is far broader than public employees. It is union members in the private sector. It is workers who are not in organized labor, and it is people like farmers. It is universal, and that's what's the key to the success we've had so far. And by the way, it does involve a few outside agitators. Folks coming in from Los Angeles, from New York, Chicago, who are here to give us support and to make it clear that this is a national issue.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's been the beautiful thing, really, is the solidarity from all over the country.
It is. People have asked me to compare this to the 60s, and it's very, very different. It's larger, it's broader, it's bigger, and the beauty of it is that we see Teamsters and teachers, we see social workers and firefighters, police officers who obviously were not part of what we did in the 60s, along with folks who collect the garbage, take care of our natural waterways. It's really nice.
Paul, what do you think is going to be, I mean, what is the latest on, you know, legal challenges to them breaking the rules to ram this through, the latest on recalls? Tell us where things stand.
Well, instead of one table, there's going to be eight tables around the square on Saturday, one focused on each one of the major Senate districts where we're going to be doing recalls. That's moving along very smoothly. There are several different approaches taken in regards to the very questionable legal and questionable constitutional actions by the legislature. Two nights ago, everyone from our own city government through the unions themselves and other municipalities are bringing constitutional challenges. And let me just mention, this is basically what brought Richard Nixon down.
Yeah.
It was his inability to democratically deal with protesters, with dissent, that led him into a series of illegal acts which culminated in Watergate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love the AFL-CIO, President Richard Trumka. Did you say that? Did you see that? He's anointing Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker the mobilizer of the year for galvanizing union members and supporters to action. He said he was speaking to a press club. He said, Wisconsin is the beginning. It's pushing the start button for pro-labor activism. This is a debate we wanted to have. The debate came to us. I think that's true, don't you?
He has just launched a really solid movement. And it's brought people together who may disagree on issues like choice and other issues, but it's brought us together into a conversation about two basic fundamental values, fairness and trust. And Governor Walker, I mean, he's set his own new records. There's two polls out that are both confirmed that his unfavorable ratings are around 61% to 63%. It takes most governors at least 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, he's. You got to give him credit for doing that in record time.
And of course, the beauty of it is also that the public employees are setting record levels for their own popularity.
And Richard Tomka said something interesting, too. He said most observers never expected that people would rally to workers' sides like they did in Wisconsin. I mean, they basically just gambled wrong here, didn't they, Paul? I mean, because you're right, every poll is showing the same thing.
Yes. It's just stunning to see who's out there. And some of the signs, signs saying, I've never been in a union, or one there's been more than one of these held up around the square, which said, please forgive me, I voted for Scott Walker.
Yeah, I was going to finish one last thing Richard Trumka said. He said, last night Scott Walker and his Republican tools in Wisconsin showed how far they're willing to go to pay back their corporate donors, destroy the rights of nurses, teachers, snowplow drivers, EMTs, done. Blow up the Constitution as state law to take away their rights, no problem. And I think that it really is offending people's basic sense of fairness, no matter what side of the political divide they're on.
And it's now time for those folks who elected him to basically convey a message to Governor Walker and those Senate Republicans and say to them, not in our name. We did not elect you to do this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mayor Paul, thank you so much for taking time. Good luck in the mayoral election.
Take care.
And we appreciate you taking time for us.
Take care. Bye-bye.
There he goes. Former Mayor Paul Soglin.
Hooray.
What a man, what a man. What a mighty, mighty good man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly my point. Yeah. Let's go to, Scott in Wisconsin on the rallies. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Got the union thug here. No, just kidding.
Are you a bust-in union thug?
Yes, as a matter of fact. No, actually, I'm Scott, the systems engineer. I've been to 4 rallies so far. I've driven into Madison every time, and I can tell you, despite what Rush Limbaugh says, and we know that he's wildly exaggerating, he's lying. The overwhelming majority of people in the capital are from Wisconsin. Generally, you can tell when people are from out of state because they're proud to show up with signs that say, "Hey, I'm Bob the firefighter from North Carolina," or
right.
"I'm so and so the school teacher from Minnesota." We actually did a hands count yesterday because we know the talk is out there by the governor. You know, he's been saying that, you know, it's outside money.
They're not. There's nobody from here that's here protesting. Yeah,
yeah,
he said
people
that.
Here hate
yeah, these
labor.
Are all outside yeah. people. Yeah,
we hate
exactly.
our teachers here.
When I drive into the Capitol, you know, I end up parking, you know, anywhere between a mile to 3 miles away because everybody is driving in from other communities in Wisconsin. So it's absolutely ridiculous what these people are doing. And people need to realize that what Walker is doing, he's trying to divide the middle class. He's pitting neighbor against neighbor. And, you know, it's really the special interests in the corporations who are benefiting from all this.
That's
it's
right.
Not, it's not the middle class. The middle class has got to wake up and say we can't be divided anymore.
Yep, then that's what they are. That's absolutely what's happening. Mm-hmm. Jake in Madison. Hey, Jake.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
Night before last, I was at my gym, which is just a couple of blocks off of the Capitol Square. And some doofus had turned on all of the TV screens in the locker room to Fox News.
Yeah.
So I went around with a little stool and changed them all to MSNBC. And on the bottom right, since there was no sound nor closed captions on the TVs that were there, all I could see was talking heads, one of them Ed Schultz. But on the lower right, there was a little blurb that spelled out what was happening. So I got dressed in a hurry and walked the 2 blocks to the square. It was pretty inspiring because the square itself is surrounded by 4 streets that all go one way, counterclockwise around the square. And at first, all the cars going around and around were going bop, 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 bop. But the police got all the cars off of the square itself to the next block out, which is called the Outer Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it filled up more and more with cars all using their horns in unison.
Cool. All right. Well, and we look forward to this weekend, too.
Wisconsin, you know Madison needs, Stephanie?
What's that?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show Tour.
Yeah, the hello. Boy, howdy. We got to put that together.
Let's talk and get over there.
You can put it on over at Monona Terrace.
All right.
Yes.
Where's that?
It's in the Student Union at the University
of
Wisconsin.
No, Barrymore Theater is our theater in Madison.
Let's go, Steppers.
God's sakes.
Let's
18
do it.
Minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, you can watch Mama's Bad Dancing at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Hey!
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Steve in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to get to the Peter King hearings in just a second, but you guys said something yesterday. You identified Tim McVeigh and Loeffner as Christians.
Tim McVeigh had a copy of the Turner Diaries with him, is what we were mentioning.
Right, but someone on your show said they were both white Christians. Neither one of them have any religious affiliation at all. So I just wanted to correct that.
I don't know who said that. I don't know that we. I think I don't know what context Chris, we were talking about it in.
Chris said it right after he said that Democrats traffic in truth on the television. I guess he didn't read PolitiFacts identifying Rachel Maddow's multiple lies and.
You're throwing down, aren't you?
Well, wait, are you denying?
What did Rachel Maddow lie about?
Well, you actually picked up on it. Amongst other lies that they talked about.
Oh, this is actually John in Phoenix. You're that right-wing guy that sends all those awful emails about every left-wing host around. Yes. Hi, John. How are you? Good to see you. Oh, he sends awful emails about everybody in progressive media around to everyone in the progressive media.
Lies they're telling. Lies.
Yes.
And they're like personal insults.
Yes, they're very personal insults.
Right, because she's a lesbian. Lesbian liar.
Yes, he's mentioned that one, too.
Yeah. Like that has anything to do with the argument.
Lesbian liar from Libya.
I think I'm actually a low-rated Democrat-funded lesbian is what he...
You're not funded by Democrats.
Trust me. I'm funded by nobody.
Where's that George Soros bag of money?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for.
Boy. You know, here's the hard thing when you're doing a serious show about issues and then suddenly someone sends you a singing puppy. And then also, Julia sent me the porno potato, which is very disturbing.
What?
There's a potato that looks like a okay. Hmm. Come look at this. It looks like it's a porno potato.
Oh, I see.
I don't want to know what a porno potato looks like.
Yeah, I don't either.
Protect your YouTube audience, Steph.
It's a male.
Has an appendage in between what looks like two legs.
Why would a potato have an appendage?
It looks like a man from the... Well, I haven't seen it in a while. Oh, no, it's a man from the front. I was trying to see which way the junk was. Okay.
You've had offers.
Okay, let's...
I've never been more grateful that this show's on the radio.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue with Right Wing World. Gretchen Carlson and Steve Ducey.
Now the Democrats are going to say, look, this was unconstitutional, what the Republicans did. They are claiming now that it's a violation of Wisconsin's open meeting law because they only got 2 hours notice.
Oh.
Well, too bad. They left their jobs 3 weeks ago, and then the Republicans gave them a chance, back. We're going to take your parking. We're going to take your paycheck.
He's being balanced again.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Violating the open meetings law is illegal.
Yeah, Steve Ducey, I guess, in charge of the law in Wisconsin now.
Can we find some tape of Ducey defending the Republicans in Texas when they fled the state for gerrymandering laws? I'd love to dig that up.
Are you saying that what? He's on
wheel
a wheel?
What? Right-wing hypocrites!
I don't understand what you mean. Okay, Erica Bowling on the Fox and Friends on Wisconsin.
You talk about Wisconsin teachers. You talk about Ohio teachers. You talk about New Jersey teachers. What the teachers come back and say, the individual teachers, hey, it's not us. It's the union heads, the teachers' union bosses who are lobbying for all this stuff. Forget it. By the way, that interview with Scott Fitzgerald this morning on the phone, I was in the car fist pumping. That's fantastic what they did there.
Mm. Where the Republicans did do the vote, and they stripped the financial stuff out and moved it on.
Ah, yes, that's fantastic. Particularly when he admitted on Fox News that it was all about beating Obama and the Democrats.
Especially since they did it in a highly illegal way.
It's fantastic.
Exactly.
Legal schmegal. So Fox News is for doing things illegally,
yes.
Huh? Okay, then.
Hmm. Duly noted. That was the Iraq War. You know what? This was never about money. This union busting was about deficits the way the song Milkshake is about frothy beverages. I mean, they want to privatize education.
What do you mean? What's it about?
I'm shocked. I'll tell you after the show, baby. Mm. They don't want an educated public because an educated public is bad for the Republican Party.
Are you saying you could teach me, but you'd have to charge?
Oh, with you, I have a coupon.
All right.
I have extreme coupon.
You have a Groupon.
You have a voucher.
Dick Morris.
I only do it Groupon style.
It is not only that there are isolated miscreants in the Muslim community.
Yes.
It is that the entire bulk not the entire,
bulk.
But the bulk.
Oh, no.
75%, according to Frank Gaffney's Center for Security Policy.
Oh, Frank Gaffney.
Of the mosques in the United States teach Sharia law. And Sharia law endorses jihad and endorses terror, endorses the kinds of tactics that we see going on.
Oh, I see. So you're quoting right-wing whack job Frank Gaffney as a
He's got that Mark Levin DNA, too. Can I quote the Quran, please? The Quran says, whoever kills another one without justifiable cause, surely he is killing all of humanity. They are bad
Muslims.
Did
Dick Morris just talk about someone else's bulk? I'm just...
The bulk of these Islamists, they're terrorists. It's been proven mathematically by science.
You know what?
Get the toes out of your mouth.
He reminds me of that creature that Chet, the big brother in Weird Science, became.
Yes.
You know, just kind of sitting there, just farting and being fat. And
Okay, that was immature, Chris.
What?
All right, Doc Thompson.
I have
I'm
to
guessing
check his
he's
IMDb
not.
Page,
I'm guessing
he's in the credits. Yeah.
I'm guessing he's not an actual doctor. In for Glenn Beck.
Probably.
I think the president would actually like the idea of national public pornography. I think he would like it because he supports the idea of prioritizing public broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
The president thinks that entertainment is priority.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I mean, that's like the people on welfare. That's the welfare attitude.
Oh,
that's
they're
the
black
welfare
too.
Attitude. I'm so clever. Listen to me. Gotcha.
29 minutes after the hour. That concludes Right Wing World Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I never envisioned my life like this. I don't know how to get out.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Michael in Honolulu, Hawaii. Yikes. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
This is the official clinical psychologist with Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank
calling.
You. Oh, boy, do we need one. We need several.
Well, a few years back, I wrote in about my kids needing the extra therapy after they listened to your hip-hop barbershop quartet music.
Yes. Well, we apologize.
That's okay. I think they need extra therapy now for listening to the civil defense sirens going off all night here.
Oh yeah. Has the waves hit there yet?
Oh, yeah. They've actually kind of, they were hitting us around 3 in the morning. They really actually weren't too bad. It was anywhere between like the tides going up and down and the waves coming in between three feet, 6 to 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I think they measured it about 10 feet, some parts of the Big Island, but actually was pretty tame compared to how they were speaking about it before. I think people were pretty worried. It wasn't too bad, but
yeah.
I see the people on CNN lining the coast in California. I don't think they're probably going to see much happening there.
Yeah, but. Okay. All right, Michael, well, stay safe. Thanks for checking in. Tracy in L.A. on the protests. Hello, Trace.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Here's my thing. I'm so tired. I've been hearing it since this stuff started about outside agitators. Last I checked, we were all Americans. This is the United States of America. And I may live in America. I may live in California. But if I want to go to Wisconsin and support them, I'm not an outsider.
Yep.
Right on.
Yep, absolutely. Exactly. Thank you. All right. By the way, the Boner talking about the deficit.
I think it's time for them to get serious. And they're not serious. And it's time to get serious about cutting spending.
There's no one as serious as I am about cutting spending.
As long as billionaires don't pay 3% more in taxes, we're serious.
Did you see Jim Michael Moore? I just thought it was so perfect. He was like, you know, we're not broke. He said, we're always going to have debt. If you buy a car, you have debt.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're broke. You know, and so it just is an interesting, he just basically saying, I mean, the money's just all in the wrong hands.
Right.
If you just make the top 1% pay their fair share, you know, and you help the president get out of the wars on time,
as he wants to, guess what? Ooh, it's like magic. Look, what happened to the deficit?
Where'd that money come from?
Oh, I guess we don't have to, you know, take it out on the backs of teachers and cops and firemen.
Crap, we're not broke anymore.
No, they're not taking it out on cops and firemen. They're scared of them.
By the way, Fox News, Karl Rove attempted to excuse Scott Walker of responsibility for the deficit because he said it was inherited from his predecessor. Remember how you're not allowed to say that about the Bush administration's huge deficit that we inherited? Yeah.
I want a book about chutzpah, and I want him to buy it for me.
Yeah. By the way, in 2009 on Fox, he suggested that Obama was responsible for the entire deficit for the 2009 fiscal year. $1.2 trillion of it, by the way, was projected by the CBO before Obama even took office. Just
right.
FYI,
yeah.
GTK. Mm-hmm. In 2009, Rove criticized the president and said, "We have an unprecedented effort by the current administration to blame all of its problems on its predecessor." Well, yes. You see, when you inherit that deficit, then I think it's fair to point it out.
60% of the deficit in 2019 will be from the Bush tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, anything we've spent at least has had a payoff, like the auto, saving the auto industry and the stimulus, which has saved countless jobs. Anyway.
And someone's going to be getting bullet trains. Probably us.
Yes.
Right.
Hooray!
Yay! Thank you, Governor Winker.
Not Florida.
All right. Oh, guess who? Charlie Sheen is looking to win $100 million.
By the way, it's two and a half hours into the show for the first Sheen reference. I'm very proud.
Yes.
Proud to be here.
He would like, from CBS and Chuck Lorre, $100 million and a couple
I have one simple request.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Mm-hmm. With tiger blood. Okay, I love this story. The National Enquirer, Sandra Bullock is afraid Jesse James will reveal her lesbianism. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
Oh, boy.
But I love this story. Celebvici.com writing, this week's Enquirer has an interesting, funny, sad piece about what Jesse might reveal in his book and how Sandra Bullock is a mess over the whole thing. The most notable suggestion, he will reveal Sandra as a quote-unquote lesbian. I put that in quotes because the Enquirer isn't even saying that Sandra is truly sapphic. They're only claiming that Sandra didn't really care about having sex with Jesse, which you don't want to have sex with a Nazi sympathizer. Right away, you're a dyke.
Not enough Aryan cross tattoos on her. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which, if it's true, I think most of us could understand, right? Also, I think that the new thing is if a lady likes to go to bed with a good book and her dog, she's a lesbian.
well, in your case.
Yes, I'm like, okay.
Do you even read in bed?
Yes.
That would explain her lesbian swing with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that chick was immune to my charms. She must be one of them, you know. You know what I'm talking about.
How many women haven't heard that? You want to... Me? What are you, a lesbian? No? All right.
Have you actually heard that?
Oh, dear God, yes.
Really?
Okay. And in my case, yes.
You want
and even if
me?
I wasn't, I wouldn't want to you. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I just like to read in bed like Sandra Bullock with my dogs and my books. I don't know.
Why is it that whenever a straight man hears that a woman is a lesbian, his first thought goes to having a three-way with them?
Sure.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, guys all turn into Chris Christie. Oh, yeah. There, I said it. There, ooh. I did not vaporize. You are a lesbian. All right, the superficial reporting. I love this story, too. Christina Aguilera got drunk again at the exact same place.
What?
She got drunk. Yes. Her boyfriend got apparently a
in
face
West Hollywood.
At Otsuria Mosa. I've been there. You've been there.
That's where I've had the best meal of my life.
That's where she goes to have her benders, apparently.
You can be arrested for public sobriety in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually in Hollywood, not West Hollywood.
3 days later, they were back there getting hammered on wine again, reporting by Us Weekly. She acted as if the arrest never happened, a Mosa source told us. When their server offered them dessert, they just asked for more wine. This time they took a chauffeured limo home, though.
Oh, okay,
so.
Good.
That's good. So she won't be a threat to anybody drunk passed out in the passenger seat of his car.
Yeah, no. I love the, by the way, the superficial says, winos are a territorial and superstitious lot. Hey, that's my drinking table. I will totally a mole if you don't move. You hear me? I've done it before. Oh, God, I have done it. Sobs. Is that baby having a birthday? I want to buy it a shot. Oh, that's me. Why not?
You can slur lyrics with me anytime, Griffin.
I bought a baby a shot before. What's wrong with that? I bought a baby a chainsaw.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You have a baby.
in a bar.
As we've discussed before, I'm bad at baby gifts. I don't really know what babies like.
Baby's first bong was very inspired, though, Steph. I
Thank
appreciate
you.
That.
Thank you. Scarlett Johansson and Sean Penn? Oh, my God.
What?
Celeb bitchy again, telling us that Us Weekly, I guess all the action happened. They have stories about Scarlett Johansson and Sean Penn's whirlwind romance. Apparently, things heating up at a rapid pace. Celeb bitchy says, wow, I think they're a really gross couple, but I have to admit, I bet the sex is really, really hot.
That's awfully bitchy of them.
They were writhing, they were acting like teenagers in love, were all over each other, kissing a lot and chain-smoking. Ew.
Oh.
Ew.
All right.
Governor Walker would like you to pay a lot of attention to that story, America.
Yes. Ew! Julianne Moore is going to play Sarah Palin. Just when I thought I couldn't love her anymore. From The Kids Are All Right. Oh, she's going to be in the HBO film about Game Change.
Yes.
She plays Sarah Palin.
That ought to
awesome.
Be fun.
Oh.
And Sarah Palin's the funniest character in that book. And that's saying a lot.
I still haven't read that book.
No, she'll be. I'm sure she'll be great. I just, you know.
Ew.
Yeah, exactly. The situation got booed off stage at the Donald Trump roast. Not realizing he was invited, so the real comedians had more material than a bad toupee, the situation actually attempted to tell jokes. The Comedy Central roast of Trump to be booed off the stage. He went up to the microphone wearing aviator glasses and proceeded to bomb all over the place, according to the superficial. His jokes were so bad that one Comedy Central executive suggested most of his act might be cut from the final broadcast.
Wow.
Hey, guess who a shout-out at the Peter King hearing? Kim Kardashian.
What? Why?
Yes. King said the hearings have been attacked by everyone from CARE to Kim Kardashian. Because she apparently, alongside hip-hop moguls Russell Simmons and Sean P. Diddy Combs, took part in a social media rally last Sunday to protest the King's hearings. The online rally coincided with an actual rally in Times Square titled, Today I Am a Muslim Too.
Well, is this a social media rally? What does that mean? Did she actually have to leave her house to do it? Because then I'll respect Kim Kardashian.
Well, it's hard to keep up with them if they're out of the house.
Yeah. I'm convinced this bad weather in New York is God punishing us for taking them in.
Jane in Seattle. Hi, Jane.
Hey, Steph, Mooks, John, what's up?
What's up? Go ahead.
Okay, I'm calling from Seattle. I wanted to tie some events together. First, I want to make mention of the tsunami.
Yeah.
Yes.
In Japan, and the loss of life and the loss of people's homes.
Yes,
incredible.
I don't think capitalism is very important at this moment.
Yeah.
But to tie that to the uprising across the world, I think we need to keep the heat on very much. And I think as far as saying something good about President Obama, I think that the best that I can say about President Obama at the moment is that he's trying to distance himself from everything. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but I read The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism.
Great book.
And we got to stay on it.
Yep. I hear you. Well, you know, Jim, you said that yesterday. We should have Naomi back on. She was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Laura in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Laura.
Well, first of all, if you and Rachel Maddow came up here this weekend, I would have both of my future wives in Madison. I'd be so happy.
And I look like Katie Lang, so it could be the three of us.
Another threesome. The thing is, if this was only Madisonians protesting up here, Bill O'Reilly would see that we were all worshiping Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
So clearly, it's not. The other thing I wanted to say is that yesterday I felt sorry for the police officers who had to carry out whatever orders. I use a cane. I'm disabled, and I needed to take the elevator down, and the elevator, they said that it was unavailable. I'm like, really? So I had the choice of walking all the way around to the other side of the rotunda to use the elevator or use the stairs to get down. And, you know, it's a good thing I don't use a wheelchair, and I don't understand why somebody placed that order, but they did, and I actually feel sorry for the police officers.
Yeah.
They weren't very happy about it either.
No, I know. Listen, the only thugs have been is sent by Walker. All right. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate it. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we will replay that Keith Ellison audio because it is amazing if you have not heard his testimony at the Peter King hearing. That, fun stack, much more as we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
The Polish government has trampled underfoot solemn commitments to the UN Charter and the Helsinki Accords. It has even broken the Gdansk Agreement of August 1980, by which the Polish government recognized the basic right of its people to form free trade unions and to strike.
What? Ronald Reagan would be riding into Madison on a tractor this weekend.
Socialist.
Was this before or after he fired the air traffic controllers?
Yeah, and Rush Limbaugh would be calling him a maggot-infested hippie. Go, Reagan! Woo!
I don't think Reagan.
Danny was against torture.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
indeed
talked
he
with
was.
Our enemies
indeed.
And raised taxes 11 times.
Thank you.
Well, there I go again.
Dan in Ohio. No, Rush. Hello, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, this is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just tired of people like Limbaugh calling us snowplow drivers and us public employees scumbags and maggot-infested worms and what have you.
Yes. And you're long-haired, maggot-infested Michael Moore fans.
Yeah, but I'd like him to come to my palatial 1,400-square-foot home and see just how rich I am. We could debate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe chew on some Oxycontin.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of people missed John Kasich. It's his first State of the State, and it's ever been booed. He was booed like the situation. And this one teacher broke into tears. I love what she said is so on point. It's the same thing happening in Wisconsin. She broke down in tears over Kasich's treatment of public employees. She said, when he says he respects us, it's a lie. He doesn't respect me. I'm 58 years old. I've been working since I was 13. He wants to take my retirement away from me. Is that respect? No, it's not. He cares nothing about me. He cares about the Koch brothers and the money they put in his pocket. I'm extremely angry and upset, and I'm not greedy. I'm a hard worker, and he doesn't care about me or any of my kind. And, she's there in tears. Talking about it. All right.
What a backfire they're going to get. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. 2012, yeah. It's going to be beautiful Mayan love.
I hope so. Speaking of tears, everybody talking about our friend Keith Elveson yesterday, which was just, I don't know how you could watch that and not cry. He was at the Peter King hearings talking about a young Muslim who was killed at the World Trade Center.
Some people spread false rumors and speculated that he was in league with the attackers because he was a Muslim. But it was only when his remains were identified that these lies were exposed. Mohammed Salman Hamdani was a fellow American who gave his life for other Americans.
Anyway, he was amazing.
Yeah.
All that's right about America, mm-hmm. Keith Ellison. All right, let's see. Leanne in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Leanne.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to let you know that Milwaukee needs to get the message. We don't have any progressive radio in Milwaukee.
I know. We're working on it.
On a weak, scratchy signal in Chicago.
Yep,
and
I
think
know.
I'm going to tell you what one of the problems are. My husband, he's one of those bottom feeder teachers for eight years. Mm-hmm. And we have a hard time finding out, okay, we got to recall those Republican senators. We don't have a good understanding of what do you have to do that. You have to live within their district to sign the petition. If you don't, I will drive wherever you need to do to sign whatever we need to sign.
Yeah.
We need further instruction. We've just been keeping our nose to the grindstone and working for 20 years, and now we've got a problem, and we need some direction how we fix this.
All right. Well, Chris, we talked earlier about at least two of those Republican senators. The recall thing is really in full force, and we will try to get some up on our website, okay? Thanks, Leanne. I appreciate it. All right. Oh, I promised some fun stack on people with crazier exes than me.
That's a short
list. I think Mark
list.
In Minneapolis sent me. This is part of his ongoing feature here. Stephanie, why bitches be so crazy?
Well,
Listen, if I knew, I wouldn't be in bed with my dogs in a book. Anyway, listen. Man's ex found in girlfriend's trunk with stun gun. This is kind of like the astronaut girl.
Oh, no.
A Michigan woman is charged with carjacking, accused of toting a stun gun and hiding in the trunk of a car belonging to her ex-husband's girlfriend. The 39-year-old St. John's woman found her wearing dark sunglasses and latex gloves in her trunk while driving home from her job. And the aforementioned stun gun.
And they say romance is dead.
Mm-hmm. How about the this one. Irate wife takes it out on woman's pants. A wife flew to Chicago and cut the crotches out of the pants of a woman who was vacationing with her husband. A man and his female companion returned from a week-long vacation in the Caribbean. Police say they found a suitcase in the driveway of the man's home. Inside it, the companion's clothing was riddled with scissor cuts. All of the damage to the pants was in the area of the crotch, according to the police.
Give her easier access.
Any other error?
Yeah, I'm sure she was just trying to be helpful.
Right. Sure.
Good for her.
The man told the police the woman was just a friend and was visiting him from Turkey.
Ah. Oh. All right. I see.
You know what? I might be with Scissor Sister here in a minute. The man also told police he was separated, though not divorced, from his wife who lives out of state. The man's wife allegedly acknowledged she had damaged the clothing, but she said the two are still married. They talk on the telephone several times a day and have lived separately because of their work situations. The woman said her husband told her he was traveling to a business conference, but she became enraged when she discovered he was vacationing with another woman. She told investigators she flew from the East Coast to Chicago, took a cab to the home she still co-owns with her husband, was shocked to find her husband had hidden everything that would reveal he was married.
Oh, wow.
And then suddenly in the thought bubble, I know. I think I'll take some scissors.
But she did the right thing. She didn't commit violent acts against anybody.
Just clothing.
Just clothing. All right. Oops.
Woman on apparel crime.
Well, this is going to work out better. Here's my future wife stack. Meth pipe found in woman's bra after crash. A 27-year-old woman faces charges after authorities say a meth pipe was found in her bra. She initially claimed the pipe didn't belong to her.
I thought she was just happy to see me.
The pipe's okay, though, right?
Yes.
Yes.
She initially claimed the pipe didn't belong to her, which she never did.
Of course not.
How did that get in my bra? What?
Damn you, Santa.
She said she found it for law enforcement, but didn't attempt to give it to police. Right. Oh, so she frisked herself, just trying to be helpful.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I got a meth pipe here. Okay.
Good thing it wasn't an aqua Buddha.
It's not mine, but I'm just saying, somebody... Okay, one last one. A pair of accused unnatural sex act in car at Florida Park. A city parking lot shared by a pool, a park, and other public facilities. Two people engaged in a sex act inside a parked car, according to authorities. Mm-hmm. The man told deputies he and Bakley were just fooling around because he had recently done her laundry.
Okay.
And I guess he had a small load and she was doing it by hand. She was returning a favor.
I think the situation used that joke. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put that in the garbage where it should have stayed in the first place.
Yeah.
That's it for us. I'd like to thank John Fugelsang, Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Terrell. We will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.